This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
So that's the lunar perspective, the alternative forecast, and as well as the conventional weather forecast from the National Weather Service. This morning, we're going to be speaking with Ashley Linton. We're also going to be speaking with Sammy Alloy in just a little bit with the Oregon Working Families Party about debt-free education. What we want to speak about this morning, again, it's sea lions up at Bonneville Dam being harassed, and I suppose murdering one of them would certainly can be considered harassment. Funny, isn't it, that at this, just at the same time, Multnomah County, following Portland's lead, is about to approve a series of gun control measures that already have opponents dismissing them as pointless. It is an interesting way that we as a species line up our priorities when it comes to who lives and who dies. We also, at the same time as sea lions are being picked off at Bonneville Dam for the crime of eating salmon, the EPA has hit the Lower Willamette Group with a $125,000 penalty, which is nothing, on the Portland Harbor cleanup. It's a Superfund site. Maybe, if we were as concerned about cleaning up our own act as we are but with shooting sea lions, we would not have endangered the salmon populations to the extent that we have at this point. Again, priorities, people, priorities. And it is important to take action.
Okay,
we've got a little bit of engineering situation here. Not sure whether this signal is going out. Ashley Linton joins us on site with the Dam Guardian campaign. She's the leader of that campaign. Since Sea Shepherd arrived on the scene, the forces that be haven't been quite so cavalier about murdering the sea lions. It's an interesting situation. Sea Shepherd actually gets out there and gets the job done. Good morning, Ashley. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Good to speak with you again.
We're really glad to have you back. So the first sea lion killing since a Sea Shepherd arrived has taken place. I'm not there. I'm not on site. It must be horrible, absolutely horrible, to bear witness to what's going on.
Well, we actually did not see it. Interestingly, we have a schedule where we get up and at daybreak, we are able to be on the Washington side of the dam at 5 o'clock, so we're there soon after. We aren't actually allowed into the dam complex until 7. So it happened while we weren't there.
What I wanted to clarify is one is not allowed to actually witness what they're doing, but the fact that they're being up there, bearing witness to what's going on, taking a stand on the situation, that's what counts, and that's what's worried officials who are signing off on these killings. I think that's got them quite nervous, and we haven't seen the numbers of killings of sea lions this year that we have in previous years.
So that's my hope, for sure. And like you said, yes, we're here day after day. You know, we put in 15-hour days, and the moment we turn our back, and animals being killed. I put out a call, what we call Sea Shepherd, a call to action, which means asking everybody to call the governor of Washington, the governor of Idaho, the governor of Oregon, and just demand that they discontinue this. This is an outrage. It is, they're scapegoated, and they, in fact, are not addressing any of the actual problems as to why the native fish are in decline. So, you know, these are our tax dollars being spent. They're being spent on killing animals, hazing animals. I'm witnessing in the last week just the hazing of birds. Relentlessly.
Sure. It's pointless. When people talk about the banality of evil, this is a case in point. Ashley, we're out of time. I want to check back with you, and because if they've done this once, they're going to do it again. If you turn rabid dogs loose in a herd of sheep, they can't stop. Ashley Linton has been my guest today. She is with a Dam Guardian campaign with the Sea Shepherd, an organization is up there at the Bonneville Dam, actually getting the job done. So make those calls. And we'll check back with Ashley. Thanks so much for that. We're going to go now to speak with Sammy Alloy with the Oregon Working Families Party. Debt-free higher education, is this a dream, or can we actually imagine such a thing? Good morning, Sammy. Thanks for being with us.
Hi, Chris. Thanks so much for having me. It is moving forward. I think debt-free higher education could be a reality. There is a bill in the Oregon House right now, HB 3472, that's just been voted out of committee unanimously on Monday, and the bill is moving forward. It directs the Higher Education Coordinating Commission to conduct a study of a proposed policy, pay it forward, and create a proposal for a pilot program that would go back before the legislature. So it's just a first step in moving forward towards implementing a policy that would allow public university and community college students here in the state of Oregon to graduate without any student debt.
Very briefly, just sort of in a nutshell, can you tell listeners how this would work?
Sure, I'd be happy to. So under Pay It Forward, the state of Oregon would establish a dedicated fund that would allow students to attend college tuition-free. The fund would replace the role of tuition. It would not replace the role of public funding. It's still critical for the legislature to fund our public higher education system. But students, rather than going into debt to pay the high cost of tuition and fees at public universities and community colleges, would have their cost of instruction paid by this fund. And then in exchange, they would pay a small fixed percentage of their adjusted gross income for a fixed period of time after college. Our proposal is that they would pay about 0.75% of their income per year of instruction. So those who went to a two-year program would pay about 1.5 percentage points of their adjusted gross income. Those who went to a four-year program would pay about 3%. And how that works out is, you know, when you graduate from college, if you're lucky enough to find a job and you make about $30,000 a year, if you got a BA, you would pay about $75 a month to rebuild the Pay It Forward fund. That would go to, you know, subsidizing the education of future generations of students. As you go about your career and you hopefully down the line make more money, you would pay, 3% of that. And so the fund grows and allows more and more students to participate in the program.
Sammy, thank you so much for that. And also, of course, thanks to the Working Family Party for generating these ideas. Amazing, isn't it, that the geniuses who are paid to come up with plans don't seem to be able to handle the job. I'm guessing probably that our legislators in Salem do a lot better than most members of the Working Families Party, and kind of manage to move the ball down the field a little bit more successfully. Thank you so much for that.
Chris. And you know, I have to say, a lot of the credit goes to our brilliant students. We worked with a group of students at Portland State University.
Thanks so much.
Educational debt reform.
We are completely out of time, but I'd like to have you back, and we'd like to put links to that to the website for you there on the KBOO website. Right now, it's important that we check in with people around Bradley Manning, who has indeed a symbol of martyr, I hate to use the word martyr, but here we go, for so many of us, with the issues of privacy, safety, security, and who's allowed to know what, and the source of where information flows from. We're going to speak now with Kevin Zeese. Kevin, thank you so much for being with us today. Kevin, of course, needs no introduction. And, his leadership role in many activist campaigns. Kevin, thanks for being with us. So this week, there actually has been a military prosecutor seeking to have Bradley Manning convicted. And, it turns out that the judge, that's Colonel Denise Lynn, ruled at a pretrial hearing that the prosecutors have got to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that Manning had reason to believe that the files could be used to harm the United States. So, can you talk a little bit about standards of proof and what it would take now for the government prosecutors to manage to?
Yeah, be happy to. Bradley Manning is facing a lot of charges. The most serious charge, which could get him life in prison, is aiding the enemy. And the government wanted to just be able to say that the documents he released were documents that could aid the enemy. Whether or not Bradley intended to or knew he would, have any reason to believe he would be aiding the enemy. So they didn't care what Bradley's mental state was. They just cared that the documents were released, and that would be enough to get him life in prison. That would be a terrible precedent for any journalist, any media outlet. That would put them at great risk, and so it's important that Denise Lynn, Judge Lynn, ruled that way. Now, what she ruled was that the government will have to go beyond just proving that the documents were released. They'll have to prove that Manning had some reason to believe that the release of the documents would actually hurt the United States and aid the enemies of the country. Now, what's interesting about that is Manning, in his testimony, when he testified about the release of the documents and how he went about it, he testified for about 8 hours on that topic. He talked about actually making sure that documents that he thought might hurt the U.S. troops were not released. And so he didn't just, even though he released a lot of documents, he intentionally tried to avoid documents that would hurt the United States. I think that's a gigantic step forward for Manning. It really can undermine the most serious charge. He still faces many serious charges. And at the Bradley Manning Support Network, the website's bradleymanning.org, you can stay up to date on what's going on. You can donate to his efforts to defend himself, and we've been trying to really work to raise a lot of money to make sure he has an adequate defense against the United States government. And we're going to have a rally on June 1st in preparation for his court-martial, which begins in June, and we really hope that people will come out, participate. If they can't be there, do actions in their own communities, support the actions in Washington, D.C., Fort Meade, which is just outside of Washington, D.C., and really help us to get the message out that Bradley Manning has support in the community.
Thank you so much for that, Kevin. There have been rallies on behalf of Bradley Manning in Kabul, Afghanistan. And I just want to...
And all over the world.
And the world is standing behind Bradley Manning. And that's exactly where we should be standing. Oh, thank you so much for that. This has been Akaskadia for Wednesday, April 17th, 2013. Kurt Lauer engineered the show today. Kathleen Stevenson's the KBO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
Flashpoints will feature a special encore broadcast of our recent series on the latest flare-ups between the U.S. and North Korea. I'm Dennis Bernstein. All this straight ahead on Flashpoints. Stay tuned. You're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. I'm Dennis Bernstein. Today on the show, we present an encore broadcast of hard-hitting, in-depth interviews on the recent flare-ups between the U.S. and North Korea. First up, we'll hear a rebroadcast of our interview with University of California professor Christine Hung. This just coming off the BBC wires. Let's see what they have to say. The U.S. has announced it is moving an advanced missile defense system to the Pacific island of Guam as North Korea steps up its warlike rhetoric. We're going to talk about that. The latest statement coming out of North Korea, quote-unquote, formally informs the Pentagon it has ratified a possible nuclear strike. North Korea has threatened to target the U.S. and South Korea in recent weeks. Well, we really need to get underneath this story, see what's going on, how dangerous it really is. And we're joined now by Christine Hong. She is a professor at the University of California at Santa Cruz, and she knows a great deal about what's going on here. Professor Hong, welcome back to Flashpoints.
Thank you, Dennis.
Well, it's good to have you with us. Now, there's a lot of things going on. There's a lot of disinformation. There's a lot of patriotic reporting coming out of the U.S. Mm-hmm. So why don't you give us your best shot on what's going on right now, what the situation really is, and how dangerous it is.
You know, you put your finger on it. You know, what we see is all this media reporting that singularly ascribes blame to North Korea, which is portrayed as a kind of unquestionable evil. And so, you know, the sense of like, you know, the kind of what the U.S. is doing in supposed response to North Korean provocations, therefore seems eminently justified. But I think that we're really in a crisis point. And to me, it doesn't feel dissimilar to the kind of media rhetoric that surrounded the run-up to the U.S. invasion in Iraq. And during that time, too, you just had a kind of steady drumbeat to war, you know, that entailed kind of vilification of Iraq, in this case, North Korea. And so, you know, I think the easiest thing to say is, you know, what if we were to look at the facts, what do those facts tell us? And this is just one example of the kind of inverted logic that you see operative coming out of the media and coming out of the U.S. Administration. In a recent press conference, Chuck Hagel was asked, it was a Pentagon press conference, he was asked